measure how they are, and also having a way to coexist with AI in this AI dominant world, but also making sure that we do not become complacent and we don't become relaxed when it comes to data sovereignty as well.
Incredible. And what I'm picking up from Mr. Mahmoud's conversation and yourself is that data, ethics, governance are, you know, sitting in different buckets. And I would love to hear from all of you your perspective on the biggest challenges and opportunities when it comes to, you know, data and ethics when it comes to the UAE and building sovereign AI.
I think I just mentioned that, so I leave it to my colleagues to answer it as well.
Yeah, from our perspective, I think with incubating more than 500 companies, we always get the request from different organizations if we have AI companies in specific sectors or specific topics. So we work with Dubai Police giving the opportunity to the startups. I work with defense and top secret even organizations. They're looking at different AIs, even hardware AI that some of the startups are doing, and we introduce them and try to provide them with this because we have that pool, and some of the startups can redirect some of their solutions to solve some specific problems. So there is many opportunities that we have, but also from our perspective, we keep it when it comes to regulation and so on. We work closely with the government in order for us to tackle these challenges, because of course some of them are not. Some of them are here. That's why we work with the Dubai AIC in order for them to verify these, are these really AI companies or not. And then they get the opportunity to get into the government procurement systems for them to be able to sell as well. Because from a government perspective, they need to look and they need to fact check that this is really AI or not. So for us, we welcome more than 150 companies per year. These companies are different sectors, right? And we try to support as much as possible, and these are the opportunities that we get. Alhamdulillah, we have Dubai government and the D33 agenda looking at this, and we have Abu Dhabi as well. So there is many ways, many different places that we can push the companies that we have. And of course, internally as well, we try to train them and look at how they can shift. So we, like I said, we have talent, we have the industry, within our clusters, we have the government working closely together. All of this can help as an opportunity to move into the next level and even go deeper into providing more solutions coming from across the globe and embedding it into the Dubai ecosystem or the UAE ecosystem in general.
Mr. Ward, I'm keen to get your perspective on gaps and opportunities with data from a VC perspective.
So I don't want to talk about, data is very black and white, right? So it's either it's protected or it's not, right? But I think look, the UAE has been punching way above its weight, and it's been investing in AI infrastructure for the past 15, 20 years, right? So it's not something new that's happening now. It's always been there. But with the evolution of OpenAI and everything else that came after that, it's just been incredibly exciting, and I think it's the best time to be alive, to be honest. It's literally the best time to be alive. Founders can build with small team, less capital, and scale super fast globally. So of course you have B2C and B2B and you think about your approach and how you do it, but it is the best time to be alive to build the companies that are super capital efficient and can solve real global problems that we were never able to solve before, given just how the models work and how they consume data and how they give you back the data. So it's a super exciting time. I truly believe we are situated in a super unique place with a progressive government that is pushing all of us to do AI. So His Excellency Omar, the Minister of AI, is super bullish, and of course with all the chief AI officers placed in all the government entities, they have to disrupt themselves. Every single company in the world has to disrupt itself with AI. So I believe it's the best time to be alive and just keep on building.
Incredible. And talking about disrupting ourselves, about shaping the VC market as you are, what are, because I'm sure you must have seen so many VCs, you know, investing in AI for the last 10 years, But where we are at the moment, at this point in time, what should VCs be looking out for? Since AI is already here and it's here to stay, what is the next thing that VCs should be looking out for and rewarding?
It's a tough one. I think nothing makes sense. Numbers don't make sense. The numbers that you see people raising at just doesn't make sense. I know we feel some of it in the region, some of it we don't feel, just the size of the companies globally, whether it's Anthropic, OpenAI, and the other companies that are building massive scale and infrastructure. So those are depending on what type of VC you are, and depending on the size of the VC, I think investing in AI as just AI just doesn't make sense to me. I think we see a lot of really cool demos that people show us, which are incredible, but you have to go back to business fundamentals. Does this business make sense? Are you making money? Are you gonna make your shareholders money? That's what it ultimately boils down to, right? So, of course, we have applied AI and things that are done in the labs that are extremely important. And now DFF has launched this program called RDI, Research, Development, and Innovation. And within that, they're building research centers across the city, across the same sectors Dr. Marwan mentioned. And in those research centers, they'll be providing R&D grants for people to innovate and build different AI applications and apply the AI in different sectors. So say prop tech or construction tech, you have a lot of things related to material science that need to go through the labs, that need to get funded. So those are kind of a little bit riskier, lower down the TRL levels. Those are not VC backable yet, but once they hit TRL levels 6+, then they become potentially investable, not from a prototype perspective, but from an actual deployment perspective. So historically, we used to raise money to build an MVP, but now you don't need to raise money to build an MVP. Build an MVP, prove it, launch it. If it works, then go raise money. If it doesn't, just don't raise money. Just one piece of advice for founders. Not all startups are VC backable. It's fine. You don't have to have VC money for you to be successful. Actually, I advise most founders, don't take money from VCs. Because that game is a different game, right? So VCs want to make returns. So for a VC to make returns, you have to create a massive outcome. They have to have several massive outcomes for them to get their money back. So that's the intentionality of VC, and that's the VC math, right? But today, if you're building a $50, $100 million startup, it's okay to own it yourself. Actually, the best thing you could do is own it 100%.
I think that's really valuable advice, and
Can I just add, I think because I've been involved in the past 18 years when it came to the IT boom, and I think the most important thing is that we need to look at AI, and how we bring up AI is the talent itself. So I would go back to the talent and train that talent to be ready in the next 5 years. Means schools have to be ready. To spit out more talent. Universities need to be ready, because 20 years ago we were trained to be operators, like operating IT systems, but not developers. And this is why our ecosystem didn't pick up. And then when we came to train entrepreneurs, we had to rely on developers in Pakistan, Turkey, and so on. But now is the opportunity, because we are going into a phase that UAE is investing in the infrastructure, the talent, and all of that. So now is the opportunity for all of us to jump in terms of when it comes to organization, right? Instead of these IT departments fighting AI and trying to say it's governance and so on, no, we need to embrace it. For example, ADNOC today, they are training more than 40,000 employees to use agentic AI. These are the things that we need to look at for all of us, because tomorrow when I bring a startup and speak to someone from these large corporations, they need to embrace and say, come, you can plug into this department or this department. Yeah, and the talent will come and plug in as well. So I think this is why as a country, we are really trying to be at the forefront of AI and not become, people will come to follow us in the future. So the opportunity is great, and I think the talent and education is key at this time.
Gentlemen, I can't thank you enough because that's real value for the founders in the room. I hope you're taking some notes. And just to end on a perfect note, I just want to open up with one question. I think we have time for just one question from the audience for the experts. Does anyone have a question? I don't see any hands going up. Okay, going once, twice. There we go. Okay.
I'll come. Where are we? Just keep your...